back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So on Tuesday, our director of the National Intelligence Agency, Dan Coats, testified before the Senate Intelligence Committee, warning the Senate that the United States is under attack. And, well, today you had 13 Russians and three Russian businesses indicted on conspiracy charges, conspiring to interfere with U.S. political and electoral process is what they're saying the indictments are. And like I said, my fear is that the spin machine say, see, we caught them. It's all done. There's no more there. We've found it. It's over. Move on. And look, the Trump machine fires Rosenstein, gets rid of Mueller. It ends. And this is where it stops. This is where I think we have to be much more vigilant and, well, on the ball. And that's why I've asked our good friend Adam Parkamenko to come talk with us. He was one of Hillary Clinton's close advisors during the 2016 campaign. Adam, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me back on. And I'm trying not to kind of laugh here at some of the stuff that you're saying, despite how serious and grave it all is.
Well, am I wrong?
No, I mean, you're totally right. And it's just on the right. I mean, the one thing that I've been trying to figure out all day today is I'd love to see a copy of the GOP talking points, whether the ones that were put out on the, you know, House or Senate side or from the RNC, because it seems to me the key Republicans that have, I mean, they're all doing this, but the ones that kind of rise to the top, like Nunes and Rohrabacher, Royce and others, they're all acting like they're Americans that are anti-Putin today, and they're speaking from the same sheet of music. And it's clearly coming from what I would imagine is, you know, the White House or the RNC. But, you know, that'll end shortly. I mean, these are people who have not only been obstructing the entire time, but continue to. And I think when we look at the Nunes memo or lack thereof, it's a perfect example of sort of what they've been trying to do to continue to kind of sow this doubt and confusion and run their own kind of Kremlin playbook campaign leading up to even today's news.
Yeah. No, I was thinking about this earlier. I was having a conversation with somebody. And I said, look, the Russian stuff, you know, worries me, obviously. But it's the Republicans, you know, using the exact same playbook that the Russians are using, whether they're coordinated or not, that scares me even more.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, one of the questions that I think that still goes unanswered is why are a lot of these Republicans doing this? You know, a lot of people thought throughout 2017 that they would have Trump's back in order to push through corporate tax cuts or something else. And then after that, they would sort of abandon him or some of them might retire early. But what we're seeing now is people like Nunes who are just digging a deeper and deeper hole, who appear to be blackmailed or have some type of information on them or be wound up in something far further. And whether that is true or not, in terms of actually some tangible evidence, in the process, they are obstructing justice wide out in the open. And but, you know, I think today's news with these indictments of both the individuals but also these entities, while the news that's been coming out I don't think does justice for what's actually in these indictments, we've seen a lot of people point out is not actually tied to a lot of the other things that we've talked about and that we know, such as the DNC being hacked.
Right. You know, and I have to point out again, because, you know, Rosenstein's statement about this, there were no Americans involved in this indictment. I keep coming back to, and I don't know if I'm just putting too much emphasis on him saying in this indictment, which leads me to believe that there's more other things coming down the road. This was solely about, you know, you had these 13 Russian operatives and, you know, running these businesses and how many others, I don't know. The question that I keep coming back to is how many Russian operatives were acting like Americans working for Republican campaigns like Nunes's or others? How many oligarch paid staffers were in these campaigns? And, you know, how deep does that money go into those campaigns? Because you're right. It's shocking to me that they haven't come forward and really, you know, called this stuff out.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And, you know, I've heard Woolsey say before that there's more Russian operatives/spies in the United States than actually work out of Russia itself. And so whether individuals were embedded in campaigns or not, you know, today really gave us kind of a further glimpse into what I think a lot of us have already been kind of talking about online and being, you know, being attacked and referred to as conspiracy theorists. And I often have said to you that I think Democrats, you know, believe in criminal conspiracies, and Republicans believe in conspiracy theories. But this was this indictment just shows what a kind of sophisticated, wide-ranging, well-funded attack on the democracy, not just in 2016, but in terms of how far out it was planned and what they were doing throughout 2015 and 2016. And then, of course, you know, Donald Trump has to weigh in, and he immediately is pushing this narrative of a false timeline. And Andrea Chalupa tweeted out, basically kind of reminding him that Russia's invasion of Ukraine started in March of 2014 with Crimea, which led to sanctions, which Putin's regime wanted dropped, a motive. And I'm quoting her now, successfully avoided more of by helping elect him. But the timeline that he gives is just wrong. And I think Malcolm Nance put it in perspective when he said Russia decided operations just after the Miss Universe announcement in June 13, hired the main staff after Miss Universe in November 13, and worked full-time naming Trump as their candidate from 2015 to 2016. And I was out in Warsaw last year with the Atlantic Council in their kind of subsidiary of DFR Lab. And one of the things that I've been saying all along, which I think is incredibly important, because there's a lot of people that spend a lot of time focused on whether votes were actually changed on the rolls. Put all of that conversation aside, this campaign, this active measures campaign, was run to lift up Donald Trump and tear down Hillary Clinton. And in the process of doing that, the fake news and the other active measures tactics that they used did things like suggest that she had these Islamic extremism ties, and she was very sick and very poor health and corrupt, while they were lifting up Trump and while they were feeding things to him, as well as we know, because he was actually using the news that was being pushed to him online. And what that did in a nutshell is, and no one can argue this, but it's kind of contrary to conventional wisdom, is it changed the perception of millions of voters. So you got these kind of two parallel tracks. You know, people are going to continue to look at machines. We know voting rolls were hacked. No one can argue that the perception of millions of voters was not changed and affected by this active measures campaign that was run to tear Hillary Clinton down and lift up Donald Trump.
No, I mean, all the money was against her. And even in this, it shows that, you know, the Russians were actively, you know, trying to help Bernie Sanders and actively trying to help Jill Stein and really, really in a super way helping Donald Trump. And obviously everything was against Hillary because they were most afraid of her. Which, you know, again, you know, you keep coming back to this, what you said, you know, it didn't actually change any of the tallied votes, but did change hearts and minds, you know. And I tell people all the time, because I have friends who say, you know, I didn't change my vote. I wasn't going to vote for her no matter what. I go, but understand, this country, elections are decided by about 5% of the people. That propaganda right. wasn't for you to consume. It was for you to continue to pass on to influence those 5%.
Right. And leading up to the general election, the farther out you were from the general election, they were doing things all over the place. I mean, we just saw a story that just came out, the University of Missouri, where they were had an active measures campaign running against this protest that was taking place on campus. You know, one thing that Hillary Clinton has often said means and has shown, not just through words, but actions, is, you know, if you don't push back against Putin, he'll go as far as he can. And what's interesting about Putin, as we all know, he's this, you know, trained KGB agent, and that's what he does. He's a handler, and you know, Michael Weiss recently, through Daily Beast, had a number of documents that he acquired, one of which is a KGB training manual, which really over the years has not changed that much. I mean, they've sort of brought it to modern technology, but Putin is a very paranoid, scared person. You know, this is not somebody that wants to go to war with the United States when it comes to nuclear weapons and other things like that. Hillary understood that she, you know, we needed to not only push back, but that we can push back against him, and we can't be afraid to push back against him. And so, you know, when you look at all the different reasons that Putin did this, I think there's a million different reasons. And, you know, whether it's looking ahead to his own election, I actually think it, to some extent he didn't even think she would, or he didn't think Trump would win. I think that the most likely scenario is he thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win, and it would be a very damaged Hillary Clinton in terms of a very divided West, a lot of cleanup. We only saw John Podesta's inbox that came out. However, we know from the Associated Press that there were three huge buckets of people that were targeted. I was one of those individuals in the political bucket. There was the media, and then there was the White House and government officials. And so the question is the AP also reported that the FBI didn't notify most of the individuals that were targets. Well, who did they notify? Did Lindsey Graham or Nunes not only get targeted but hacked? We don't know. And so the question is what other information is Russia sitting on that they would use to hand over to WikiLeaks or hand over to WikiLeaks through a cutout? Well, we only saw Podesta's emails. My guess is they probably have all sorts of other individuals' inboxes and data that they were planning on using throughout her presidency, not just in the first year, but at times that they needed to cripple her as president or try to create chaos, even though many of these emails, the Podesta emails were innocent. You know, it was the media that turned it into this big thing that it wasn't. So to me, it's very curious, not just what has happened and what we're starting to see, what has proved to have taken place, but also what their plans are for the future. And you've got all these Republicans that have been obstructing Mueller and others over the handful of months. And these same individuals that are pretending to be patriotic American standing up to Putin today in a single tweet are the same individuals that aren't doing a single thing. Nothing has been done to protect our elections in 2018 and beyond. And I do think that, you know, Russia is sitting on all sorts of other data that they plan on using, and they're going to continue, and they are trying to infiltrate inboxes and other things like that right now.
Again, as you've pointed out, we've done absolutely nothing to this point, even though all of our intelligence agencies have been telling this president that it happened and we've got to do something. And he, again, has not. But here's the thing. You know, what I've been noticing the last couple of days in the run-up to today, and the last article that I read was by Monica Crowley, right-wing hack with the, I think it's the London Center for Policy Research or something, where she basically said everything's Obama's fault. Everything is his fault. And that seems to be going to be the narrative going forward, that all of this hacking happened because Obama had fallen down on the job. And we're going to have to litigate what the Obama administration did to try and stop it, because, you know, everyone's saying that we knew.
Right. And, you know, I think one thing that's sort of interesting here, and this is where, you know, I think in general in this conversation, everyone needs to put party aside. And I'm saying that, and I'm sure that sounds cute to a lot of people listening, because I'm, you know, the usual political hack. But I mean, even people that worked in the NSC for President Obama will be the first to say that, you know, there was a balance for them for things like when the intelligence report came out on October 7th, Dave, that we've talked about, where you not only had the intelligence report come out from the White House and the intelligence agencies, but you had the Podesta emails, and then you had the Access Hollywood video. And the NSC was pushing out this intelligence report, and, you know, reporters were focused on John Podesta emails and the Access Hollywood tape. And I think, you know, one of the things that, in hindsight, it's not like Obama did everything perfect. And he was an incredible president, but at the same time, some of the things that he could have done better, looking back, he was actually being a good president that was trying not to be political and doing the best that he could to protect the integrity of our democracy and what we stand for as a democracy. And at the end of the day, it looks like he should have gone and leaned in a lot harder on this, if people were going to go back. But again, it's hindsight. And now we have a president who is just totally out of control. Nothing that him and those around him are saying match up. And a lot of these numbers that are coming out, you've got basically with Gates closing in on cutting his deal as a cooperating witness, that'll put Mueller at having three cooperating witnesses. The 13 indictments today, the three entities that are in there, and a lot of this is really that came out today was sort of just kind of social media active measures, long planning campaign based that they did, you know, to again lift Trump up and tear Hillary down. And it doesn't get to a lot of the other things that people are really interested in, which is did Trump's digital director Brad hand over targeting data to Russia? You know, and I think the fact that Flynn and others are cooperating, why would they be cooperating? What do they have to be cooperating on? What would persuade Mueller to cut a deal with those individuals? What kind of information they have? And so that's the question here: is now that we've got all of these individuals that are Russian nationals named, a lot of people have pointed out that you sort of just need one or two people from kind of that Trump orbit to tie to this. It would seem to me that there's probably more than one that Mueller has already tied to these individuals, and this was sort of the next step. And then the other kind of key piece that I think came out today is what's kind of perfect about these Republicans that are pretending to be standing up to Putin and being patriotic Americans today that have been obstructing the whole time is I think Mueller has really protected himself going this route today. You know, coming out with this news about these 13 indictments of Russian nationals where, you know, in a single news dump, he did more basically to implement Russia's sanctions than the White House has done since Congress passed them. I think Mueller has really protected himself and really put Trump in a corner for whatever room was left to try to fire Mueller has really gone out the window after today.
I hope you're right, because you know, when I read these this morning, I'm like, you know, is this where they go, okay, it's all done. We don't need to continue with this. We found the culprits. We'll march them out. We'll have the virtual lynching, and then we just move on. And with we as Americans with a very short-term memory and an echo chamber right-wing media that controls most of the message, I fear that marches us in the wrong direction.
And you've got, I mean, this is where it's there are so many Americans that are naive here, and I can't tell if they are truly naive or they truly are bought into this active measures campaign that has been run against them to sow doubt and confusion. But when you have people from Fox News tweeting out what is basically to them the smoking gun that there were two dates in November after the presidential election where there were anti-Trump active measure campaigns run by Russia, it's like there's nothing in their head. They're literally looking, they're focused on that. And like, there it is right there. That's what we've been saying the whole time. Okay. There were two things included in these documents that came out from Mueller with these indictments that dropped today, and they were anti-Trump post-election. This is classic KGB Cold War tactics that are used for people to do things and point to things. It's whataboutism. It's like, well, what about that? What about that? What about that? And they truly are grabbing on to dates that are after the presidential election. And it, you know, the active measures campaigns are consistent and ongoing. They never end. But when something is accomplished as part of those, what they do afterwards is they sow discord and confusion and create chaos. And that is exactly what they've done. And in Republicans that want to believe that this is one big witch hunt and hoax are grabbing onto that exactly like we have seen decade after decade.
So let me ask you this, Adam. You know, we agree that, you know, the Russians did this, that this information campaign is ongoing and this chaotic behavior is ongoing. What do we do about it? I mean, you know, I saw today, you know, someone wants to do, I forget who it is, they want to start going after social media ads. You know, there are other people who want to rein in social media and start doing some things along the. What's the direction forward? How do you make sure that this stops? Does this end with us starting war? Where do you see this going?
Well, I think there's a bunch of different parallel tracks, and I think one of the things is we have a president of the United States who is out of control, uncontrollable, and I think Mueller's been very smart about his approach here because, if Mueller has enough information to bring an indictment or has something sealed on one of the children or son-in-law, if that indictment were to come out, I would imagine that would probably be the worst we have ever seen Trump. So I imagine the way that he did these 13, whatever he's going to do with anything that he thinks is going to be the biggest trigger to Trump would happen at the same time. But in the meantime, as we talked about, I think just, a week or two ago, the State of the Union, Trump could do something, abroad, trying to kind of create another war where he thinks he's going to take the focus off of the investigation and bring people together. But in terms of, so that's outside of our control, other than all we can continue to do is keep up the heat, hold these individuals accountable, continue to call these members. Part of this is a long-term game. It doesn't seem Republicans are in control of everything. It does not seem to me like many of these individuals that are in these positions to get things done right now within the Congress are going to do anything. So those individuals need to be voted out, and we need to take back Congress. The individuals that are in these intelligence agencies take an oath to protect their country, that are lifelong civil servants, I have no doubt in my heart that those individuals are going to do everything they can to do what they can while they're all being referred to as deep state and other things like that. These are people that have spent their lives fighting for our country and doing everything they can to protect it, and I think they'll continue to do that. But part of this is the longer-term game, and I think that is, we need to make sure that we do everything we can in every single corner and win these seats. I mean, I know you all have one upcoming with Connor Lamb. That's the 2 or 3 point race right now, a special election for Congress. But one of the numbers that I push out there pretty regularly is since Trump has taken office, in terms of seats flipped by party, Democrats have now flipped 36 seats and Republicans have flipped 4. And then I usually hear the response, it's like, what 4 seats did they flip? But when you're looking at these numbers, I mean, even last week or this past Tuesday, we had a special election in Oklahoma with a ruby red seat that we were never supposed to win. We didn't win it. It was a Republican seat, didn't flip. They held on to it. But the margin in terms of the Democratic vote shifted 39.5%. That's insane. I don't think this is coming from a national party level. I think this is just everybody getting up, going out there and doing everything they can. It's the incredible stories we're hearing about people that are running, and it's the people that are registering for the first time, and we need to do everything we can to win up and down the ballot this year. We had a very successful off year, and to have done what we did in Virginia, which hadn't been done since 1899 in terms of flipping that many seats, I think that, we're looking like we're in pretty good shape, because in all of these elections that have taken place in 2017, including Alabama, Russia has meddled in them with bots, with their active measures campaign, and they've been losing them. And we're seeing that in primaries going on right now. They're doing the same thing. And the American people are stepping up, and they're making their own decisions. And the majority of Americans are on the right side, but I think we're starting to see a lot of other people that, are lifelong Republicans that are looking past party, and they're putting their country first, and they're going with who they think will clean up this mess.
And quite a mess we have indeed. But Adam, I appreciate you taking time, filling in some of the blind spots and giving us some thoughts. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Always good talking with you. Again, I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com, or give us a call, 1-888-520-RICK, 1-888-520-7425. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people.
Waving the flag of freedom for people, not corporations. Rick Smith.